So it's the innocent person that gets impacted on by alcohol that we want to protect.
From my perspective, the more we reframe and look at this issue in that way, the more we'll come to appreciate how insidious this situation has become.
Going to licensed venues, is putting the onus on the venues to control drinking and violence, is it working with the heavy fines that are being enforced?
I think it's a complete failure. There's barely been any organisation that has had any financial penalty placed upon it, let alone being put out of business because of the irresponsible service of alcohol. You know, we know that responsible service of alcohol measures just don't work. No one checks, it's never enforced, and when people are found to have breached it, they get a slap over the wrist.
So, but in recent times, we've had stricter licensing laws. We've got the 3 p.m. lockout. There are licensing police that come around to try and enforce RSAs. I guess what you're saying is that's probably not being done well enough. So what do you think the next step is to solve the problem?
A quick action that can be taken is that policymakers just need to look to what happened in Newcastle, where trading hours were reduced and lockouts imposed. If you want to get a quick bang for your buck, apply what happened in Newcastle across the state, and that's what the Foundation has been arguing for some time, and that's what the Alliance put out there yesterday. It's been shown in two separate studies in Newcastle that achieved reductions in assaults by somewhere between 30 and 37%, and that has been sustained over a five-year period. And so if you want evidence about what works, just look to Newcastle.
That's the short-term solution. Is there perhaps a longer-term solution as well that we can look at implementing?
There's a broad range of policy measures that research shows will change this situation, will bring about improvements and reduce harms. The first thing, and the evidence is absolutely unequivocal here, and that is the price of alcohol should be increased. Ken Henry, the former Secretary of the Treasury, in his big review in 2009 described Australia's alcohol taxation system as incoherent and outlined a sort of a package of reforms, and that has been something that has been put to government repeatedly over the last 2 years. We've talked a bit about availability. That's something that the state government has within its power to do something about. And the third area is to try to constrain some of the really aggressive marketing and promotion of alcohol, either through advertising, price discounting, and those sorts of things. These are things that are targeted at young people, mm-hmm. and the more you promote it, the more that people will consume the alcohol. And the reason I sort of outlined those three things, because in Australia at the moment, alcohol's never been more affordable, it's never been more available, and it's certainly never been promoted the way it has been as it is today.
Promotion clearly plays a big part in it, but would putting the prices up just force people to find other alternatives, like prohibition didn't work? People who drink heavily before they go out to avoid high drink prices, for instance, things like that?
Look, we're not talking about prohibition here.
Of course.
We're talking about trying to tone things down, you know, wind things back a bit. Look, the evidence is very clear that increasing the price of alcohol does reduce consumption. It's certainly not going to...
And that's the evidence based from the Newcastle model, is it?
No, that's international research.
International research.
More than 100 peer-reviewed studies over the last 20 or 30 years that prove that claim. And if you're looking back at the young people, certainly that research that Professor Peter Miller released earlier this week, where he showed really for the first time the extent of preloading, points to what we have always thought, and that is that people buy cheap booze before they go head out on their nights out on the town. They can trace that back to the problems with Australia's alcohol tax system. You can buy a standard drink of wine for 25 cents, cheaper than what water you can purchase from your local petrol station, you know you've got a problem.
Andrew Kelleher is the licensee of the Carlisle Castle Hotel in Newtown and has worked in the industry for well over 20 years. And he says the issue is a complex one for venues.
Generally why there are violence is two reasons why. One, people aren't cut off before they get to that stage. And secondly, they're then thrown out onto the street and then they try to get into other places and they're denied access. And that's when a lot of the violence happens because people are upset, they're intoxicated, they're not thinking properly, and the problem is then transferred to another venue that has nothing to do with the original problem. So it's a very, very difficult, delicate situation. But if you sell people alcohol, they're going to be intoxicated or they're going to be under the influence of it. So it's, unless you limit the amount of drinks people have in a night, I just can't see it getting any better. And there's, the other thing on top of that, Matt, is that, mate, people take drugs when they go out as well. So they're not just intoxicated, they're under the influence of drugs, and that creates problems as well, I think, and that's very hard to detect, and that's never written about, and it's never spoken about, and it should be, because it's just as much a problem as alcohol.
Do you think it's the solution lies with enforcement, with police? Like, for instance, if venues were getting cracked down on a lot more, would there be more of an impetus to cut people off and to monitor their drinking a lot more?
Well, without a doubt. I know a pub in question that the friend owns, that they've got a strike against their name, and if you get three strikes, they put you out of business. You don't have a business anymore. So it certainly wakes them up to the idea, and they make sure their staff are more diligent in what they do. But I still think the problem is people are going to the industry. You don't go into a university degree to run a bar or work behind a bar. A lot of people are inexperienced. They don't know what they're doing. They're scared or intimidated. There's all these sorts of factors that work against them, and maybe it should be more, industry should be more regulated. It probably should be, and it's about time it is. You know, there's always two sides to a story. I think the police should be more active as well, you know. Like they do these blitzes once or twice a year, and the rest of the time you never see them. So I think they should be more diligent and more helpful, you know, from a licensee's point of view, I think definitely. I know that in Newcastle, the lockouts, that seem to have worked, but, you know, as long as you sell people alcohol, they're going to react differently, you know, and it's very difficult to know how they're going to react.
Do you think the lockouts would work in Sydney?
I think they would. But it's typical. We're in an international city. You've got people coming in from overseas. People are trying to run a business and try to make money out of a business. It's very difficult. And then what do you do it for all venues, or you do it for some venues? Again, it's difficult to... I think the reason why there's a spike in this time of year is because there's a lot of people out there drinking that don't normally do that. So they don't know their tipping point, and they're doing things and taking things that they don't normally do. And also they're left in places where they shouldn't be, you know, or the public transport system's a joke. People can't get home, they get agitated. That also causes violence and also leaves people vulnerable if they're on their own or wherever they are to running into trouble.